something for the King of Glory. Oh, me me do me me li me kibo. Ama mama se mase mase ya mase na mase.
Praise
Him!
For your testimony, praise Him! For your testimony, praise Him!
Lord. Abu imu juwe mo amaraya jimaka kamwarida. Your hands to the Lord. Your hands. Ah, I will enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. I will say, oh, the Lord is my strong tower, my refuge. Oh, great and solid rock, I stand all other ground as sinking sand. Jehovah is great, there is no one like you. There is none to compare with your glory, the glory of Jacob. The glory of God, the Lion of Judah. Oh, me need you, me believe we. What do I have to do?
Somebody praise
God. Oh yeah, 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 oh yeah,
Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for God again? Somebody's file will be open again today. Let that person shout hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated one moment. Be seated, be seated. Hallelujah. I hope the fire is still on. It's like there are some casualties. Why are some people not in the church? So many people are not here tonight. Casualty. They are recovering from 21 days. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, when we finish a program like this, we expect a lot of manifestations. A lot of manifestations. And so we expect a lot of questions on the manifestations of the Spirit, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If the Lord touch you during this period, can you wave your hand before the Lord? Oh my. Okay, no wonder you are all here. Amen. Okay. So if you have any question, we can make clarifications on any experiences you have and you don't understand. We'll be glad to answer, including those of you watching us from around the world. The phone number will be on the screen shortly, and we'll be glad to answer your calls, answer your questions. Amen. Okay, any question, please? Give the microphone, please. Yes. Give me microphone wherever, please.
Praise the Lord, church. Let somebody that God will touch tonight shout a better hallelujah. Sir, I have a question to ask, and that question happened by grace of God, what God did in my life in this particular program that we just concluded.
Amen. Yes?
It happened that there came a night that should be Saturday. After vigil. So as I was sleeping, I was in revelation and I saw you, sir. And when I saw you, we were just seated the way we are sitting here now. And you just point at me, you said, you call one name, you ask me whether is this your name, I say no. But you say I should stand up. And when I stood up, you now said, do you know Antonia? So, I wanted to give you whether I know, I don't know. Something happened. And that thing distracted you from my side. But suddenly I woke up. It was in a dream because I thought that it's just physical like that. So, and I was bothered about the question, about the name Antonia. And I went even through dictionary to know what is that name was all about. Because I thought so many things about the name. That is why I say this night, I'm going to ask you, sir, to verify. Because it is you that God used to ask me that name in my revelation. So I want you to answer me physically.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen, church. We cannot use sessions of question and answer to interpret dreams. We want questions on doctrinal issues, any manifestation of the spirit you don't understand, issues that affect your spiritual life, your spiritual progress. But concerning dreams, I have had reason to say this several times. First and foremost, when you see me in a dream, certainly you know it's not me. It is the covenant angel of the ministry. It is God Himself sending His angel by using a face that you have respect for, you have regards for, to minister to you, to tell you things, to give you message. Now, when you have a dream like that, a name is given to you, Antonia, for instance, and the message was not complete, and you wake up. What you do with such dream is to hang it. Or, you go into prayers. Everyone knows how he relates with God. There are people that, anytime they pray, Lord, I want to know this. If they sleep, God will talk to them. Now, if you know that is how you relate with God, then you explore that means for that revelation to come. But there are people that will dream. And the dream not complete. They wake up. He said, yeah, this is not complete. Father completed. They went enter sleep and continue where they stop. Okay? There are such people that have that ability. Now, everybody does not have it. So, now, if you don't have it, you pray for God to make it clearer. If you don't have the ability, don't go into praying for God to go into an experience that you know that is not how God deals with you. Every one of us always try to recognize this is how God deals with me. And pursue that area very well. Use it for your spiritual bearing. Now, if you pray and nothing happens, you hang it. When I say hang it, that is keep it and watch it in the back of your mind. Antonia, Antonia. One day, you will jam Antonia. For whatever reason. Then you will now quickly remember, ha! This is the Antonia. Antonia. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
You are married?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Antonia. God bless you.
Okay, sir.
Yes, sister.
Sir, there is question. There is a place I want to read here, which I don't understand it. And there is a reason why I want to read the place. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. Praise the Lord. The reason why I'm asking this question is that, sir, in our family, there's a land that I give my mom. But my mother,
there is
a land.
Land.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That I give my mom. Then my father, first son, her first son died. Then he went into that my mother's land, buried that her son.
Sorry, can we make that microphone clearer so that we can hear what they are saying? Can you tell the engineers, please? Can they set that particular microphone so that we can hear what she's saying? Thank you. Let me hear you again, please.
I said the reason why I read this place and ask this question is that as you say, love your enemies, do good for those who hate you, pray for those who abuse you.
Yes.
There's a land. Then my mommy came. Then my father gave him that land. Then we are just using that land, granting something. Then my father's first son, her son died. He now went into that my mother land, bury her son. Bury his son. So, I had it. My brothers and my sister, because my sister is not happy. They are even quarrels. How can we show these people love? But they are wicked us like this. And I called my mom yesterday. Say, mommy, what is going on? I said, it's what he saw. I said, don't fight. Let God fight for us. So, I wanted to say, when we will show your enemy love, but they will still, they want to kill you. This kind of love, I understand it, Daddy.
Sorry, if I understand your story very well. They came and buried their son in your own land.
In my motherland.
In your brother's land.
My motherland.
Your mother's land.
Yes.
How does that constitute enmity? What is wrong with it?
Sir?
If they bury somebody in your land, what's wrong with it? It's your relation. It's your land. It's your relation. What's the problem?
Sir, he has their own land. This is the land where my father's father gave my mom. And they have their own.
Is it not family land?
Sir?
Is it not for your family? Is it a member of your family?
Sir, it's a member of family, but they wanted to kill us. They don't like us. Even her father wants to kill us. Because of this prayer, her father has died. Her son.
No, what I'm saying is, the act of burying somebody in your land does not constitute wickedness. Does it?
Daddy, it constitutes.
Sorry, Ima, can you tell me, can you explain?
Daddy, Ima, they want to take that land.
Wait first. Pastor, I read that this one, you will not understand this one because it's an evil culture. So this one is above you.
Tell me now, teach me what it means.
So what it means that for those people to went for their mother's land and bury that person for Igbo land is not right.
Because tell me what is wrong now. They keep saying it's not right.
As they bury that person, that person now, that land, they have possessed that land. They have possessed the land. So they are fighting over that land now. It become an issue.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, why I'm laughing is Amen. Well, that is a family matter now. That's a family matter. I expect that if according to the culture of your people, it is wrong, then the whole community should have stood behind you and stopped them from burying there the day they were buried. Was it a secret burial? That's why I'm laughing. If it is according to the culture that possessing your land, while they were buried, you will have raised objection and people around will have told you, why will you leave your land and bury in another person's land? So that's why I say I think it's a family matter. But now your question is, how will you as a Christian now handle your enemy who has taken over your land?
My motherland, yes.
Yes, your land is your land. Praise the Lord. I have explained several times. The Bible does not allow us to fight physical fight. Instead, you do the opposite. Our fight is spiritual, is on our knees. But before them, you show them love. But in your closet, you report the matter to God. For our weapons are mighty through God. And that is prayer. So, physically, be good to everybody around. But spiritually, show them pepper. Go and ask our neighbors around here who have been fighting us. We face them with our prayers. And the enemies submitted. Hallelujah. God bless you. Yes?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, okay, sir. I just have these two for the questions. I said I just have these questions. They are funny somehow. And number one is, you know, I'm asking, sir, is it proper to kneel before a man or to bow before a man? Now, whether in greeting or maybe in honor or in apology, like, you know, like the way the Yorubas do, you know, they kneel down to, you know, to greet. Is it proper that we bow to a man, bow before a man?
Can I also ask you, what makes you think it is not proper? From your question, you feel it is not proper.
Because I think that, you know, only God, because what I think there is that, now when you bow, it simply means worship. That's the way I think it.
Where do you get that definition from? Where do you get the definition that to bow before somebody is to worship him?
Sir, I get it from there, but I just think, that is why I came out to ask. I just think.
Yes.
So, I get it nowhere, but I just think, and that's why I came out to ask, is it proper to kneel before a man?
I read somewhere, during the time of Adolf Hitler, he was the Führer, he was the head of government in Germany, and
Everybody was bowing before him. Only the Jehovah Witness. They refused that they can only bow to God. And they will not bow to a man. And they faced persecution. They were killing them. Some of them escaped, but they still stood by it. Now, when it comes to worship, you define what posture you take to worship. If not, we will stand in to greet somebody, a human being. If we stand to worship, then it means we are lowering the reverence of God too. Why do we stand to worship? Why do we worship God by standing the same way we also greet our fellow men? I'm talking about you, your reasoning now. See, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, I like to balance things up. There's a way you follow God and become so legalistic until you become carnal and you think you are spiritual. Now, listen. You define what it is, what you call reverence. You define it. And it is determined by your relationship with God. When it is time to worship God in this church, we see some people lie down flat. Some sit down, bow down their head. Some stand up and lift up their hands. Some kneel down. Some stand up. All those postures, they are postures of worship that the individual determined to give to his God. There is no doctrine on when it comes to worship, this is the posture you must take. You can stand before a man and yet you idolize him. Okay? So it is not the posture of lying down that determines reverence or worship of God. It's more than that. Now, cultures differ from place to place. What a community defines and respect for the elderly, for the people in position, for the king and the rest. In the Yoruba land here, in the West here, for instance, in Nigeria here, I do know that in my former church, one of my former church, I was just a member, and the pastor was teaching respect. And then he went further to say that the woman, when you come to serve your husband food, you should kneel down and give him. Then he tells you, oh, stand up. He was teaching that in the church. And he hammered on it and hammered on it. After service, I went to his office. I said, sir, I heard your teaching. And you are teaching us Yoruba culture and telling us that is what is acceptable before God as respect. And I quickly told him that where I come from, what constitutes respect for me from my wife is not by kneeling down. So you won't say because my wife stands to talk to me, it means she has no respect for me. You won't say that because my culture does not take kneeling down like that to mean respect. So stop teaching us Yoruba culture. I told him. Teach your wife. And don't make a doctrine out of it. The Yoruba man, to show respect, he will lie down. Bara. That is him. They call him the valet. That is what constitutes respect for them. And you know that if you are not a Yoruba man and you don't do it, they don't take offense. Because they know you are not a Yoruba man. Praise the Lord. In the north there, you don't enter a king's palace with your shoe. You remove your shoe as a sign of respect to him, and you enter. And when you enter, you sit down on the floor. That is my area where we come from. You don't lie down. You only sit down on the floor. The man is on top of his throne. Whoever you are, governor, anybody, you sit down on the floor. That is their own sign of respect. But you can also sit down like that to worship God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay, sir. All right, so the second one says, now, when the Bible says, do not be equally yoked with the unbelievers.
Yep.
So who are the unbelievers? Is it the people that are not born again, yet they know that there is Jesus? Or those who don't just believe that there is Jesus?
When you say the unbeliever, you have to define it again. Believe what?
Sir, I just was bothered.
Believer. Like believe what? Who is a believer and who is an unbeliever? That you have to define it first before we know how to separate them.
Sir, that is why I come, so that you will help me.
Why I say so is, what you believe, as far as the Christian faith is concerned, anybody that does not believe it like you is an unbeliever.
Okay.
And you too, you are an unbeliever to that person.
Now, so sorry.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
If that person too goes to church, a Catholic man, for instance, that believes in images of Mary and the rest, looks at you, a Pentecostal man, as an unbeliever. You too, you are looking at him as an unbeliever. That's why I say, define unbelief.
Okay, now, sir. Now, when the Bible says, do not be equally yoked. And you know, in Nigeria, there's nothing, you can't do anything without, like, maybe you're selling, and then you have to meet somebody too, and maybe this person is not a believer. And, or maybe you have a business to do with somebody. Okay, let's just say, you want to do a joint business. And then this is not a believer, and you have to do it. Now, I come to ask, is it proper?
See, do you know what a yoke is? Do you know what a yoke is? Now this is the meaning of a yoke. You, where they use the cows, for instance, to farm. Now they want to begin to till the ground. They put the plow behind and the cow is in front. Now the plow is here for another cow. Now, so that they will all go at the same pace, there is a stick that they use to tie between the two of them. That stick is the yoke that keeps them together to move at the same pace. That is the meaning of yoke. Now, when they say, be not equally yoked with unbeliever, you now understand. So that you don't join yourself to do certain things together. Anything that is contrary to your faith, you don't join it with another person to do it.
Thank you.
That's the meaning of yoke.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yes? Rasabi asked me some kind of question. Very soon, I will use question, answer question. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
I have two questions. One is about Holy Ghost. On Friday, last Friday, I had a very strange experience. I asked God for Holy Ghost. And
talk louder.
Suddenly, okay, I asked God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And suddenly I felt this, I felt something strange. I can't even explain it. But I noticed that my two hands started shaking uncontrollably. And I was struggling to stop them from shaking. The more I tried to stop them, the more it continued to shake. And if you set fire, the thing will increase. And eventually, it stopped when you said in Jesus' name. And then you said if you had an experience that we should come out here. I came out and after you wanted us to go in, you said clap for Jesus. I tried clapping, but it started again. And I found myself here. Okay, I went inside. But I don't understand what that meant.
I think I took time to explain that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, there are certain manifestations you will receive. And that is where the Pentecostals miss it. Now, you look at it in the Bible. In the Acts of Apostles. When the Holy Ghost, all those who received the Holy Ghost, there was a manifestation of the Spirit that somebody looking at you, we know that something has taken place, supernatural. And what they saw in Acts of Apostles was, as at that time, it was speaking in unknown tongue. Remember that it never happened before until it took place on the day of Pentecost. So everybody was surprised what is going on. It was a sign that something had, the person had received something. That is what Peter saw in Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, and he saw them speaking in tongues, and he turned to people that accompanied him, the Jews. Look at this Gentile. He has received the same spirit we have received. What stopped us from baptizing them? Seeing they have received the same spirit we have received. What makes him think, know that they have received? They saw a manifestation of speaking in tongues. But as the church progressed, there were other manifestations. Praise the Lord. And I want you to also notice that on the day of Pentecost, not just speaking in tongue. Why? Because the people said they saw them and thought they were drunk. Now, for you to say somebody is drunk, there must be a way they behaved. That itself is a manifestation. And Peter told them, it's just 9 a.m. Beer palace never open. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Praise the Lord. Now, it grew to other manifestations. Other manifestations. And these things become more clear because, you know, Satan, there is nothing, you know, Satan cannot impersonate. Once something is released, Satan will impersonate it. But as time went on, especially as we come to this side of the Gentile church age, from 1906, when God decided to restore the manifestations again in the church, from 1906, the history, read the history of the move of God from that time, you will see a lot of other manifestations. There was a group in America that was called as the Quakers. When the Holy Ghost came upon them, the common manifestation they were seeing among them was they were quaking. They would be shaking, and then they nicknamed them the Quakers and the Shakers. The Quakers and the Shakers. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. And on like that, through the church history, the move of the Spirit, some of us have studied this and seen that when the Holy Ghost comes, there are different manifestations. Something that lets you know I have received something. One of it I mentioned is that fire sensation. That shaking of the hand. You see somebody shaking. The hand will be shaking by itself. And if you, so that you will know that it is not you. You try to stop it, it will increase. That is how you know this is supernatural. And for a long time, for quite some time to come, any time the atmosphere becomes spiritual, that manifestation will come on. This is just one of them. Some of you, you feel that fire sensation. Some of you, tears will just be coming out of your eyes. Of course, some of you begin to speak in tongues. Some of you, you just be laughing. Some of you will be dancing. A sister was dancing here. One was dancing somewhere there. Some in the congregation, you try to stop that dance, you cannot stop it. The more you try, even speaking in tongues, when you try to close your mouth, the thing will increase. That is how it is. When you if it can be slain in the spirit, you just fall down and see all your bones are off. Now you try to stand up, the thing will pin you more there. And all other manifestations, there are many. Some will just be shouting and shouting and shouting. What are you shouting at? You know, you don't know. They are all manifestations, different manifestations, but the same spirit. That is what the Lord says. So, it is evidence you receive something.
Thank
God bless you,
sir. Thank you, sir.
What's your second question?
Second question. I recently dropped my trousers, and I want to ask, for the purposes of undergarments, is it a sin when you wear shorts as undergarments?
Can
or
I ask?
When you are working out, when you are swimming, or when you are jogging.
Can I ask you, why did you drop your trousers?
Okay. Because of the Deuteronomy 32, verse 5.
By revelation. Just by revelation. You know, a woman should not dress like her husband. She not share clothes with her husband. This is one now. When did you drop it? When?
Less than a month. Because I've been coming here and I've been listening to you and the messages have been disturbing. So I just decided to drop it.
They are
it.
Disturbing. Hey, may my messages continue to disturb you in the name of Jesus. But you are not a member of this church.
Not exactly, but I'm a frequent visitor.
You're a visitor. Which church do you attend, if you don't mind?
Redeem.
Redeem.
Yes, sir.
No, but they don't kick against trousers in Redeem.
Workers are not supposed to wear trousers.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's only workers that will go to heaven. Eh? Praise God. So if you want to continue wearing trousers, don't be a church worker. That's all. But bring your tithe and offering. God will help us. Praise the Lord. Well, I thank God that your revelation, your worship of God transcends your denomination. Wherever you hear the truth, whether it is from your church or not, you are ready to follow it. Now that is an evidence. You are an eagle among chickens. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Listen. The messages we preach. The messages we preach. Here. Concerning. Whether you should wear trousers or not. What we are talking about is fashion. The reason people wear trousers, women wear trousers, is fashion. That is what the Holy Ghost is against. Now, there is what we call functional dress. I've explained this here several times. What we call functional dress. A young girl, for instance, that is going to an NYC orientation camp, where you're going to do a lot of exercises of climbing, coming down, crawling, and all those exercises that involve you opening your leg. You don't expect that woman will go there and wear skirt or wrapper. That NYC trouser they give you in the orientation camp is not for fashion. It is a functional dress for a particular purpose that requires that type of dress. You have not seen. You're a sport woman, or you want to do some exercises, physical exercise. You want to jog. You want to do some aerobics so that you don't get too fat. Your husband may be complaining. You want to check your weight. You are a woman. You are not expected to go to the gym in skirt. You have to wear the right kind of dress that will fit the exercise you are going for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it may surprise some of you that I have a young girl in my house. What a young girl recently the Lord told me to adopt. Somebody remember one day here, the Lord showed me there's a young girl that fasted 3 days dry fasting. Somebody remember that? I said, you should see me. I had it clearly. I shall adopt that girl and take care of her. She's been with me in my house all this while. And she was in a very critical condition. She was crying to God to help her. She was in JS2 and she dropped because of very obvious reasons. And I have taken her now to be my daughter. She's in school now. I think, is it April or so? My wife and I, we were in a shopping mall in the U.S. And I saw sleeping gown, pajamas. Her name is Favor. And I told my wife, I said, this is Favor's size. Can you get her these pajamas that she can use to sleep? I've not seen her with pajamas since she came. And my wife said, but it has a trouser. I said, no, this is a sleeping gown. Now, she's not wearing it for fashion. And the room she shares with one of my other children, when my wife was saying, it's true that other girl said that when she sleeps very carelessly. So he said, now this one will fit her to sleep with. Will you say that is for fashion? No, it's a pajamas. It's a sleeping gown. Praise the Lord. So when we preach here, don't look at us as some people that say anything that have a leg like this, no enter. Amen. The little children, 1 year, 2 year old, 3 year old children, when you wear them knickers, you know, this is trousers, something they wear. You know, when you wear that, it's not for fashion. The young girl is going to be playing anyhow, and, you know, it's a protection for her. So you won't say the small girl is wearing trousers. God judges all our motives. Yes, it's wrong for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. But when it is a functional dress, when you're a soldier woman, you won't go to the combat field with a skirt. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, Pastor, I read from 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. My question now is, sir, how do you ascertain the call of God if you have one?
Sorry, what is the question again?
From this verse, how do you ascertain the call of God upon your life?
So you cited something.
Yes, I cited 1 Samuel.
That said what?
Chapter 3, verse 7.
Yes.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And this is the state of many Christians, the average believer now. Now my question now, sir, is how do you ascertain if you have the call of God? That is one. Number two, if the call is unheeded, what are the consequences?
Well, let me quickly tell you that in this age that we are in now, in this period of grace, listen, when you say the call of God, you have to define it properly. Most of us, anytime you hear call, what comes to your mind is to go and gather people and watch over them. Pastoral call. Now, when it's more than that, now every Christian is called. Come to me. It's a call. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's a call that brought you to the altar to give your life to Christ. So every one of us, you want me to prove it? Praise the Lord. Okay, go to Romans chapter 8. See the way Apostle Paul put it. Verse 30. Go to verse 28, 29, 30. See, just watch the language there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is he talking about pastors?
No.
Evangelists?
No.
Prophets?
No.
All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. Now, he now defined that call now. For whom he did foreknow, through foreknowledge, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, now he's defining it. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Correct water baptism. And whom he justified, them he also glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is why I say all of us that are Christians, we are called according to his purpose. So when you say, how do I know the call of God upon me?
Yes, how do you
there are different
it?
Types of there are two types of calls. Call to receive salvation and call to serve him. Now, the call to serve him after you have answered the call for salvation, the call for service is determined by the gifts that you have after you have received the Holy Ghost. Your call is determined by your gifts. So when you say, how do I confirm the call of God in my life? They will confirm it by the gifts that you have. And you don't go to learn any gift. It is as the Spirit giveth utterance. There is no school like that. But you can be guided. Where you cited concerning Samuel. Now, Samuel didn't understand what was going on. He was in his room and he heard a voice shouting, Samuel. He thought it was Eli that called him. So he came to Eli. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. He went back again. He heard the voice again calling him. Then he came back. Eli now, being a prophet, now counseled him. When next you hear that voice, this is what you should say. That's all. It was a counseling. Now, I can also tell you, like my sister, anytime my hand, fire, pastor, I don't understand. She didn't go to learn where to receive fire for hand. Now I cannot say, anytime you see that fire on your hand, look around, somebody is sick. Place that hand on that sick person, the person will receive healing. That is a healing ministry. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is how you identify your ministry.
Okay, the second part, I said...
You said, what happened if you...
Yes, unheeded. If unheeded.
If unheeded, can any man battle with the Lord? Who can resist the power of God? If God intends to use you, you can't resist him. First and foremost, let me tell you, one evidence that it is a call is that it is the thing that gives you the most joy when you do. If it is from God. It is only when you... If that is the thing that gives you the most joy. The thing that gives me the most joy is to stand and preach the word. Anywhere you call me to come and preach the word, I am... If you visit me, And you are talking politics, I can get tired very easily. But when you say, explain this scripture, my. I can forget my food. Amen. So can you tell me I will refuse to preach when that is what gives me peace and joy? Yes. Sometimes as a human being, the area of the prophetic, that is where you have problem. All other areas, no problem. But the prophetic area has problem. Because not too many people want to hear thus said the Lord. And the message may not be palatable. And so you may have enemies. Look through the Bible. So many of them, the prophets, how they were hacked. There was one Jeremiah referred to that brought message to Israel. And they seized him and cut him to pieces. But shortly after, what he spoke came to pass. Jeremiah had the same experience. Isaiah had the same experience. Every prophet, remember, Micaiah received one slap one time. Oh yes. So when the prophet like Jonah refused to go and deliver a message, you know, if it's a prophetic, in fact, those with a prophetic gift, they are always scared of the reaction. Now it is human. It's human. But after so when they refuse to go, God will do to them as he did to Jonah. You can't stop. Some of them, he chained them here until they say, okay, I will. And some, he will take away his peace from you. You live a miserable life until you go deliver the message. That is only for that. Any other one is very sweet.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Any other gift is sweet.
Thank you very much, sir. Lastly, talking about the last office of the fivefold offices, talks about the teaching, the office of a teacher. Can you throw more light? Because it seems as if it's one office that is not glamorous among the five offices.
No ministry is supposed to be glamorous. If you are looking for glamour, no ministry is supposed to be glamorous, because the teaching ministry meets a lot of opposition, especially when he goes and finds himself before intellectuals. They will bring big grammar and resist you. So, none of them is easy. That is why everyone must be inspired by God. When he does it, he backs you up. He backs you up. So, concerning the teaching ministry, it's one of the commonest ministries, the teaching ministry, because he goes about. He's also the one that writes books. It's a teaching ministry that produces books, write books, not the type that they transcribe my sermon. No, I am not a teacher like that. In fact, I don't have time to write. But there are teachers. And when they break it down for you, you won't have too much questions to ask. But one that is not a teacher, he will add more confusion there. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sister.
Look, Pastor, we are having this experience starting Sunday night. Sunday night, when I slept, in the midnight, I woke up. When I woke up, I went to the toilet. After easing myself, I said I should lie down. My body started shaking, my leg. So my speech was hot. I feel that some people, some bees are around the house. But yet, if I want to pray, I can't be able to pray. But my speech is hot, praying.
No, you are thinking that it is as a result of some bad spirits around.
No, I see that it's the angels of God around, because whenever they come around, I always know.
So what's your problem? You don't want angels to come? Next time, tell them, look, you angels, go now, go away. Did you call them?
I didn't call them.
You didn't call them. So it means they are coming for a purpose. So what you should do is to say, if you cannot even talk in your heart, be talking to God, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. See those angels? Some of us are praying every day, Lord, I want to see you. Come, I want to see this angel. This angel, where they make noise all around me, why you know they greet me see you? Eh? You, they see them. You come, they make younger. Very soon they will leave you and come to me. Since you don't want them.
My question is that if I want to pray, I can't be able to pray, but my
at
spirit
that hour,
will pray. Yes.
At that hour.
Yes.
Is it? But your spirit will be praying.
Yes.
It's a manifestation of the spirit. Eh? Your spirit will be praying. Yes. What is your spirit saying?
It's praying. I don't know. Just
you'll
pray.
Be hearing your spirit praying.
Yes, my body was shaking. Very hot.
Now, if you see Romans chapter 8, verse 26, open it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, look at the screen, sister. Sister, look at the screen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That is what you are experiencing.
So, this week, when it was,
it will continue happened. Until He has fully fulfilled the purpose for which He is doing it with you.
But always I was asking God, God, the experience that I have during the camp, is it not that I didn't receive the Holy Ghost? So the voice, there is a voice I always speak. Whenever that voice speaks, I know that the thing will always come to pass. So the voice asked me to open Isaiah 56, 65, verse 8.
Isaiah?
65, verse 8.
65?
Yes.
Okay. 65, verse 8.
He said, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine.
Okay, let me read it. Thus said the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. So he's saying, there is a blessing in that visitation. Don't talk against it. God bless you. There is a blessing, serious blessing there. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. My question is on the hymn book.
Hymn book?
Yes, I was reading an exposition of the seven seas. I came across a mountain.
This is a monk that is born in King.
Not mountain,
sorry. Let's hear a call. Hello? Hello?
I'm asking the question.
I am hearing you. Ask your question.
Hello, good morning, sir.
God bless you. Good morning.
Sir, please, I want to ask a question. Please, is it a must that a born-again Christian or someone that receives the Holy Ghost must pray for hours?
Okay. It's not compulsory. The length of time you pray determines...
When you want to pray, must you pray for hours?
Okay. Sister Stephanie from Switzerland, listen to the answer. The length of time it takes you to pray is determined by what you are praying for. The length of time you pray is determined by what you are praying for. Thank you very much. You can pray short prayer if the prayer point is a short one. But if it's a long one, certainly an intercessor will pray very long prayers. Because he may be having so many people to pray for. Also, somebody with a gift of the word of knowledge will be praying, and in the course of prayer, God may be showing the person a screen, a vision that makes him have more prayer points. Also, the person praying may be having a gift of speaking in tongues. We are guests in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost takes over. Such a person will remain in that condition until the Spirit withdraws. So he could be speaking in tongues for hours. And some other person may just have a short prayer depending on what you are praying for. God bless you. Yes, your question.
And my question is, I want you to clear me the difference between Martins under Pergamos and Luther under Sardis. I don't really know the difference. There's a confusion here.
Conviction of what?
You have Martins as a star messenger of Pergamos.
Yes.
Then you have Luther, star messenger of Sardis. There's what you call Martin Luther. What's the difference?
No.
So they are two different people entirely.
There is Martin Luther. Don't confuse him with Martin Luther King Jr.
Is he the first one, Martin Luther Jr.?
Martin Luther King Jr. is a human rights activist.
Okay.
In America. Okay. I have a dream. He's the one that spearheaded the liberation of black oppression, yeah. Racism in America.
While you were
Martin Luther is the star messenger.
Yeah. While you were saying,
yes, someone in line, somebody on the line.
The
hello?
The Holy Ghost. Yeah, he's saying how to know the signs. This is how to know the signs of the Holy Ghost. And while you were saying that, he says there are things of intercession. Even though there are signs, there are things of intercession. Now,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you well.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I think that's a fake. There are signs of the Holy Ghost. There are signs of the Holy Ghost.
There are what?
Can I go on?
Signs of the Holy Ghost?
There are signs of the Holy Ghost. And why do you think there are signs of the Holy Ghost? He said there are things of intercession. That distracts a lot of people from knowing the real science of the Holy Ghost. Now, I really want to know the difference.
I'm sorry, Brother Uche, I'm not able to hear you. Can you cut the line and call back? I'm sorry, Uche from Abuja, you may have to call back. Maybe the line will be clearer. I truly cannot hear you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this Martin, what is the surname of this Martin? And Luther, what is the surname of Luther?
What is what?
The surname. I'll find Martin here. I don't know the surname. Is this the one you call Martin Luther?
Luther is his surname. Martin is his name.
But under Sardis, there's another Luther there.
Which other one again?
Under Sardis. There's Luther. According to this something here.
No, it's St. Martin's. St. Martin's in the Pergamos church age.
Okay.
Not Martin Luther.
Okay, St. Martin.
St. Martin's.
All right. Then you have under Sardis, Martin is what of Luther?
Eh?
The under Sardis is Martin Luther.
You are reading from somewhere. What does it say?
Under you only have their names there, no surname attached.
Oh, you are asking for their surnames.
Yes, so when upon me get clearance.
Praise the Lord. Well, in the case of Martin, we know him as Saint Martin.
Okay, I'm clear with that.
Yes, which one again?
The one of Luther. Columba is there. I'm not worried about Columba, but Luther. Luther before John Wesley.
Yes. Martin Luther. That's his name.
Okay. Sorry, sir. The other question I want to ask is in the areas of evangelism. Some, as you used to say, according to your experience or life history, while you were in prison, Ikoyi prison, some people came from America to give you this William Branham sermon book. And today, God has made you what you are. By being the angel of this message in the Gentile dispensation. So I want to ask.
To do what?
I said God has made you
an angel.
Angel of the message.
In this dispensation.
This time.
No. There is only one angel in every dispensation. And for this dispensation, known as the Laodicean Church Age, it is the man William Marion Braham.
Praise God, sir.
God bless you.
And what I want to ask now is that in the sight of God, how would God now, that man that made that effort to give you that something that exposed you to the message, in the sight of God, how would God treat you in terms of reward compared to that other evangelist?
Oh. There's a scripture. Which scripture is there that says, how beautiful are the feet of them that brings good tidings? Which scripture is that?
Romans 10:15.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, Romans 10:15.
This is the way the Bible puts it. It says, listen, from verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Then he said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. From this scripture, you can see that when it comes to salvation, you discover that it is a process that is scattered among men. Everyone has his part to play. I received a text message earlier in the day. Somebody said, I received your tract. I received your tract in a bus along Oshodi Road. Please, where is this church located in Lagos? You see, somebody went to the bus and was distributing the tracts. He has done his own. He didn't know what the Holy Ghost is going to do with it. Now, that person through that tract is going to locate this church and is going to receive salvation. Now, how will he receive the salvation? He will come here, one of the pastors here will preach. And the person will hear the word and be saved. Now, when it comes to reward, both the person that gave that tract and the pastor that preached here, they have the same reward. Because it is their collective effort that brought that man in. So both the evangelist that goes to evangelize and the pastor that has the ability to keep them that evangelists have brought, they have the same reward. And a lot of people, when the Bible says, my servant, my servant, my servant, they are looking at the general overseer. Hey, there are servants of God everywhere. Including that who sweeps the church. I know some brethren that make it a point of duty. Before service starts, hours before service starts, I come here, I've seen many of them. They'll be arranging these seats. They'll be arranging the seats, cleaning everywhere. I came one time again. I saw some brethren that climbed chairs and they were dusting the fans. Everything you do in the body of Christ has a reward. The worst thing that can happen to you is to reject opportunity to have reward by being a redundant church member. A lot of people don't know it. That's why in churches where it is properly taught, you see everybody there is actively doing one thing or the other. Because there is a reward. There is nothing you do in the body of Christ for the betterment, for the advancement of the kingdom that is not rewarded. I am telling you, that is the truth. The worst thing that you can do, oh, I go from work in the morning, I close in the night. No time. But in that your work, you have money. You are paid. Use part of that money for the gospel. I'm telling you that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do something for the gospel. Don't sit down reluctant. Those of you who have singing gifts, join the musicians. Those of you, you know, I spoke the other day and I limited myself to spiritual talents. There are also natural talents. There are talents you are born with and there are talents that you acquire. If you are a member of any profession, professional body, you specialize in anything, it is a talent. Remember, it is God that gave you that ability. And you must also use it for God. You know something about electricity, it's expected that you will join the electrical department. I'm telling you. There is a young man that said he was sitting somewhere here. When he was, prayer was going on. He said a voice spoke to him. I will not answer you until you go and join them there. He resisted it. The second time he came again, unknown to us, he was a technician of this electronic something technician. And as at that time, they needed somebody like that badly. As at the time he was praying, he had no accommodation. Money to feed, nothing to feed. His life was in crisis. I mean crisis. But as soon as he yielded, I went there. That day, the head of that department, Brazil, said, he came to me and said, "Do you know we have somebody here? We were having a problem of connecting." He said, "He just came, did something, shoot it out, and everywhere received." He said, "We didn't know we have such a man here." And he's been working in that department since then. Shortly after, he got somebody who had no accommodation. He was squatting with somebody at Aja. He will live there. That place, they gave them quit notice. No accommodation. Hanging here and here with two shirts and two trousers. As soon as he started, God gave him a two-bedroom flat. Now, they are calling him up and down everywhere for jobs. People don't know that the talent you are, if you are a lawyer, it was our legal department here. The brother here, the head of the legal department here, in 2009, he walked into my office and said that he said he's a lawyer. He heard that there are some lawyers. Why don't we come together and form a legal department? He said, because you never can tell. This is a public place. So if there is anything. Oh, we say, "Oh, go ahead, that's very good." About 3 months after that was when this fight began. For this land. And they took him immediately to take the people to court and tie them here. And as soon as it began that, come and see jobs everywhere. Come and see serious cases everywhere. They were looking for him, cases, politicians, giving him millions of naira to start cases for them. And then shortly after that, he was awarded, what do you call it, became a notary public. You know what a notary public is? You know, you want to go to the embassy, they need something from a court. They honor their stamp more than the one for court. When you come to him, he has a stamp, he stamps it and signs it. And it was the Lagos State Chief Judge that swore him in. Some of our ministers, you were there. Obina, all of you, you were there in the ceremony that was done in Alausa. Why? Because he offered us service. And it was free. Of course, you don't expect to be paid when you are working for your father. Praise the Lord. And people don't know it. The more you do it, the more in that your area you begin to prosper. Because you are using that talent for God. A lot of people I know, there's nothing you are contributing to the body of Christ. It is wrong. God would demand it from you. You know how to play any instrument? Join the musicians. You're into electronics, our electronics spoil every day. Fix it here. You know what to do with generators? Go to the generator. Join them there. You're an electrician, you know electricity here. You are in the building profession, an architect, an engineer, join them. Give useful advice. We will soon be building our cathedral. Come and join them. And I don't have anything, I don't have any work to do. No job. Come here where work is going on. Become laborer. They carry sand. They go, give them. Carry wheelbarrow, carry wood. After all, I don't get work. Make I go work for my father's house. Watch and see what he does for you after that. People don't know. Praise the Lord. You are a driver. There are some brothers, anytime we are going for rally, they say they are busy at work. They will drive here and drop their cars and drop the keys and they will go. In the evening, they come from their work, come here and pick their cars and go. They have given their car to go for rally since they cannot go. Praise the Lord. It's a service for God. Go around them and see how God blesses them. Do you know in this church, every Tuesday, people come here to clear all the grass on the main road and in the church environment. They form themselves together. They call themselves environmental sanitation ministry. Their own, they come here every Tuesday. You see them dressing like prisoners. And they do it happily. Go among them and hear the type of testimonies that go on among, in their midst. They clean up everywhere. That is why Minister of Environment, they went to one church near us one time. They closed that place for a dirty environment. And when they came here, I don't know whether it is Obina that saw them. One of you there. When you saw their vehicle on the road here, one time they stopped from Alausa and they went to them and said, any problem? He asked them where they said from Bride. They said, oh, we are very happy with Bride Assembly. We saw how you're taking care of this area. You've been taking care. I said, we don't have problem with you. It is courtesy of those brethren that come here every Tuesday to do it. Do you know that toilet is clean every time because some brethren have volunteered to be cleaning it? Do you know some sisters bring cleaning materials to donate to them to make that place look fresh? It is using your talent. I advise every one of you, make sure that you can sit down and at the end of the day, look at yourself that there is something you are doing for the advancement of the kingdom. You should pick this, our magazine, somebody here, what do you call it? One your pastor. I know a brother that every month he gives 10,000 naira. And the printer prints copies, 10,000, you know, naira worth of copies for him. And all he does is in his environment, he has a particular spot he goes to stand. Every time, he will pray, Lord, anyone that read it. And then he's giving everybody like that. In your place of work, certainly you can distribute something. You can buy our newsletters. Even those tapes you give out, you don't know what God will use it to do for somebody. Our books, buy it and give it to somebody regularly. These are things you do for the advancement of the kingdom. None of us must be redundant, including all these ones where they sleep as they talk or so. All of them where they sleep as they talk. You must not sleep. You must do something. You must do something. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you what ministry that is neglected, as yet is so important? To visit the sick. To visit somebody that needs comfort. When I say visit the sick, I mean brethren who are sick. Brethren who have problem. Brethren inside police case. Held up there. Brethren who have one problem, who are bereaved. That visit that you visit, it brings comfort to the person. It makes the person know, I have brethren. You may not have anything to give, but that you visit. I hope you know it has a reward. Praise God. It's neglected. But I'm telling you, it's very, very important. That's why he said, I was sick, you did not visit me. Amen. People are thinking that is hospital evangelism. That's not hospital evangelism. He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these my brethren. So he's talking about Christians. He's not talking about unbelievers who are in the hospital. It is an evangelical field. But when you talk about brethren, that action, you are in position to visit a brother and sister, you refuse to go, God will hold it against you. So when you go, it's a ministry. You go to comfort the person. You go to let the person cheer up. And you help the needy. You are doing it to Christ. Okay, I've dwelt too much on that because I see a lot of deficiency in these areas in this ministry. Praise the Lord. Okay. The next person, yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, please, my question, you actually touched part of it, but I just want to be more convinced.
Yes.
Concerning these spiritual gifts, is it possible?
Hello.
Sorry. Hilary from Portugal, hello?
Hello, sir. Hello, I'm telling you.
Shalom. We're hearing you, Hilary. Okay, we lost that call. Yes, sister?
Is it possible for somebody to say that he did not understand his or her gift?
Why?
Because this issue of sensation in the hand, it wasn't the way other people are having it. And since this week, I've been asking God, what is the meaning of this?
Which one is your own?
As if someone is hitting me in there. Yeah. It's so hot, and I'll be, what is this? And I'll be in the kitchen. Nobody is sick around me, but this thing will be so hot, I'll be hitting me like this.
There is a manifestation. Now, when these things start initially, it must not be that somebody needs your prayer. It is God's own way of trying to get you to be used to Him around you. Just His own way of letting you get used to His presence. It happens like that initially, and later on, it bursts out with a gift.
The other one is concerning this recent one you just talked about, showing love. So, the Bible said that the least of my brethren.
Yes.
So, I wanted to ask, issue of love, is it not normal to show everybody love? Is it only the brethren, the believers?
Oh, a Christian is identified by love. Does God show love only to the believers? When you have the Holy Ghost, you have God dwelling in you, and the Bible says, God is love, and he that loveth is of God. William Branham put it this way. He said, the first test, evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. He said, number one evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost is that you come to a point where you see somebody is your enemy. Somebody wants to kill you. Somebody hates you. And you just see yourself, you can't help it, but you still see yourself loving that person. He said that is number one evidence you have received the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor. When
let's answer this. Brother Chijoke from Norway. God bless you, Pastor. I have two questions. Has Satan been cast down from heaven or yet to be cast down? According to Revelation 12:4, Satan will be kicked out of heaven after the rapture. Because William Branham said, when the church goes up, then Satan will be kicked out. Because there will be nobody to accuse when Christ has moved from the mercy seat. Okay. Secondly, in Genesis 6, 1 to 3, the sons of God, I believe we are the sons of Seth. While the daughters of men were the daughters of Cain. Mixed marriage. Am I wrong? Please tell me. Your second question, you are 100% correct. Your first question, let me take it again. Your first question, there, you say, has Satan been cast down from heaven or yet to be casted down according to Revelation? You say, according to Revelation 12, 4, Satan will be kicked out of heaven after the rapture. I think you are misquoting that Revelation chapter 12. Can we read it? Amen. Revelation chapter 12. This is how it goes. From verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That is Israel. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in bed, and pained to be delivered. When was she with a child? She was with a child, the pregnancy. They were pregnant with the manifestation of the prophecy that Isaiah gave. Okay? But I pained to be delivered because she was in great expectation for the coming of their Messiah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. It is taking us back to the history of Satan. What happened in heaven when he disobeyed God and went into a rebellion, and a one third of the angels were with him. He's going back to heaven. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. That's why he's here on earth now. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. That dragon now that was cast down. He was here ready to see when that prophecy will be fulfilled. Ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. That was why Herod sent those wise men, planned to kill the son. It was not Herod. It was that old dragon. Looking for that child to kill him. And she brought forth a man child. Israel is that woman that brought forth a man child. Who is that child? Jesus. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. When will he rule? When will he rule the whole nations with the rod? When? In the millennium. 1,000 years. That is when you do it. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. We know when it happened. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260, that is 3.5 years in the tribulation period. After the rapture, the tribulation period. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him.
So he has long been cast out. Not that he will be cast out. He has been cast out. That's why he's wandering to and fro. No resting place for him. Praise the Lord. I think I've answered him. Okay, next. Yes?
Yeah, good evening, Pastor. My question is this. I want to know, is it right for a Christian to sell alcohol?
To sell alcohol? Is it right for a Christian?
Drink alcohol. Is it right for a Christian to drink alcohol? Second question.
Is it right for a Christian to drink alcohol?
Yes.
The Spirit of God in this age. Hello, Chukudi. The Spirit of God in this age has forbidden believers to drink alcohol except on the Lord's table for what it signifies. Is it what?
Is it also right for a Christian to play all this wildlife music, hip hop music?
Amen.
Like Michael Jackson, music like Michael Jackson, hip hop, wildlife music.
Praise the Lord. Any music that does not edify you, any music that does not glorify God, any music that it's not a spiritual music. I don't know. No true Christian will enjoy it. The Spirit in us cannot entertain such music. It offends your spirit man. It offends you. When you hear it, it offends you. So no true Christian will enjoy that. And if you find yourself enjoying such things, you certainly need deliverance. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Sir, my question is on covenant.
Covenant.
Yes. Because when I give my life to Christ new, I was full of zeal. Then, I enter into a covenant without the proper knowledge of God.
Covenant with who?
With God in a particular group called intercessor. One day, while we are praying, the leader of the intercessor said he received a message from God that we should enter into a covenant that we'll be praying in that particular intercessor in as far as we are still in Lagos, and we enter into that covenant. But at a time, I discovered that something was going wrong in that covenant, and I wanted to leave. I leave. Then, after some time, a revelation came from other sister that God is not happy with me because of I enter into a covenant that I break out. So now I want to ask, what is the proper way of coming out of that covenant, from that covenant?
Listen, church, listen. Listen. A lot of us, out of overzealousness, we enter into things that end up destroying our Christian faith. First and foremost, let me make this comment. A vow that you are coerced into taking is null and void before God. Every vow must be done willingly. If somebody says the precondition to remain in the prayer group is that you must take a vow or a covenant. And because you want to remain in the group, you decide to take that vow, that covenant, God does not honor it. In this period of grace, church, listen. If you are going to make a vow, you must make it willingly. And any vow you make willingly, God will demand it from you.
But he's still a merciful God. If out of overzealousness, you make a stupid vow, because every vow you make, you have positioned yourself for Satan to go after you. In that area, that is where you'll be facing your temptation till. Let the young girl, let the young man that just gave his life to Christ on fire, never you say, Lord, I vow that I will not open my leg for any man. Father, the day I do it, kill me. Some do that, some say it. The day I do it, Father, withdraw your peace from me. In fact, they always say, kill me. As soon as you make it, Satan will recruit his demons. Anywhere you go, before nobody there tell you, anywhere you go, from the church, the group you are there, a brother will begin to chase you. Anywhere you go, you are looking for any favor, they will say, well, before this, give it to me. And Satan will bring frustration all around you. He will not leave you until the day you fall. And the day you fall, now the same demon will tell you, say, oh yeah, die, die, die. You must die, you must die. Your dream, not death. Anywhere, not death. I call those vows stupid vows. You are wherever you are by His grace. Be humble to say, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And do by all means to run away from all evil. Stay clean. And the more you do that, you humble yourself and submit yourself to His grace and mercy, He gives you more power to resist it. Gives you more power to resist it. But when you say you vow in the area of such things, you are in trouble. I am telling you, man and woman, when you hear me talk like this, I am talking as a pastor. I have seen things. I have heard things. I have handled cases. If anybody has made such a vow, now go before the Lord and say, Father, that vow that I made that time, Father, I lose myself from that vow today. I will only depend on your mercy. But I promise you, Lord, I don't want to defile myself. Now, when you do that, you see victory, 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 victory. And knowing that, because sometimes you think you are somebody, the Bible says he would think he stands. Take heed lest you fall. Every one of us, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. That is the prayer Jesus Christ said we should pray. Okay. Who is next? Yes? I have a few more minutes. We need to pray.
Praise God. Pastor, I want to ask, this time is disturbing me. Before my mom died.
Can I answer this first?
I say,
Emmanuel from Akwa Ibom, Nigeria. If someone who has not received the Holy Ghost asks God in prayers of anything, will he get the answers to the prayers? The answer is yes. If you come by faith, he will quickly answer even the unbeliever, because he wants you to know that he is real. Believing that when he answers you, you will appreciate it and give your life to him. Yes, the next question. Secondly, who is Melchizedek? Can we say he is God? Thirdly, those who will not make it to the rapture and refuse the mark of the beast, will they pay with their blood? And how? Thank you, John the Baptist of our time. I am not John the Baptist of our time, because nobody will cut my head. If you are listening to me from Akwa Ibom,
Open Hebrew chapter 7. Who is Melchizedek? Hebrew chapter 7, I think verse 1. Let's read it from verse 1 up to verse 5 or so. This is who he is. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. This is who he is. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Who did Abraham meet? He met the Almighty God in the form of a human being. He met God face to face. Hey! Abraham met God face to face. Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you. But you know, the Bible says that among men born of women, including Abraham, including Moses, it says, none has been greater than John the Baptist. He said, nevertheless, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. What he's saying is, I am greater than John the Baptist. Anybody here that is born again, you are greater than John the Baptist. Why? What makes that greatness like that? Amen. Because John the Baptist was under a covenant, see with the blood of animal. But we are under the covenant, see with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are higher. We are higher. We are higher. We are higher. Our covenant is a better covenant than their covenant. Would you jump up and shout, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ? Abraham met God face to face, but we have God dwelling in us. Hey! Glory! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! That is who we are. That is who we are. That is who we are. Hallelujah! There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. I'm so glad that I. Maybe this engineer, they are not one of them. Though these people, may not learn it, no lovers of madness, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now but far away, as far as yet is. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them.
I am one of them. So glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah.
That's why we are called the bride. You don't hear that in the Old Testament. We are the bride. It's a high position. Yes, who is asking the question?
When my mom died, when my mom died, I bathed my hair. Hello? I said, when my mom died, I cut my hair. I did dread. So I was in the dream. I was told in the dream that at the end of God, I'm not supposed to do dread. No. Dread love. Dread love. All this that I had, I did it when my mom died. That I didn't dread, dreadlocked. So when I was in the dream, I was told that as a child of God, I'm not supposed to do dread. So when I wake up in the morning, I lose it. I don't do it again. Then after some months, a man of God told him that I should stop putting makeup that is meant for as in prostitute, as a child of God, not supposed to as in paint yourself. So I had what he said, so I stopped it. Again, I was in my church. They told me in my church through a prophetess that I should stop, that I should separate myself from the world. So I went from the world. That God said I should separate myself from the world. So when I went to, I was like thinking, what am I doing that the world is doing? So a voice told that I'm wearing trousers, that I should stop wearing trousers. So I burnt them all. I stopped wearing trousers. When I came to Lagos, in my church, they don't put earring, don't plate attachments, anything official. So I don't believe that wearing earring and putting attached is a sin. I see I was putting them. But the day it came, I stopped it. So what I want to say now is that, Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 12, it said, as many that has received him, to them he gave the power to become son of God. So what I'm trying to ask, I get angry easily. When I'm angry, I can say anything, I can do anything. But I'll stop all these things. Why am I still having that sort of anger in me?
Sorry, which church do you attend in Lagos?
Tower Majesty.
Eh?
Lost Tower Majesty.
Lost All Majesty.
Yes.
Okay. They don't put on these things.
Yes.
It's a holiness church. In Lagos here.
Sir?
In Lagos here.
Yes.
Oh, so we are many.
But I used to be angry.
We are many. So what?
I used to be, I used to get angry.
So your problem is concerning worldliness. You are putting aside.
Yes.
Now remain anger.
Yes. And it's coming badly.
The same power that made you to leave the world will soon take away anger. Amen. So continue to pray. Say, Lord,
I've continued
praying. Don't stop until it is. If you're already angry, praise the Lord. It's a spirit. God will take it away. Because you don't like it. It has no agreement with you. One of these days, your mind will just cool. And your type, God is going to... Are you married? The kind of husband God will give you will be a man that when your fire starts, he will know how to quench it. Praise God. I know of a brother that used to be here. He was a minister some years back. His problem was anger. When he starts, his eyes will grow red. You will see veins will come out. Full of anger. That was his problem. Then he got a sister in the church that he wanted to marry. We were afraid for the sister initially. You know him? Thank you. But do you know that he loved that girl so much? It's too much. Until when that madness one starts, when the girl told Lucam, honey, everything with us. Very soon, God will give you a husband. Then when you start, he will turn and look at you. Honey, It will be gone. Praise God. Any other question?
Yes. I used to sow seed.
Yes.
I used to see that of ask of God. But yet, it seems as in I find it difficult as in to receive.
To receive?
Yeah, as in favor.
Maybe because when your expectation delay, you'll be getting angry with God. So when you get angry with God, you can't delay and say, you want to fight me? Oh, yeah, fight me now. Once you sow a seed, wait patiently. Amen. There is no seed that is sown that you will not reap. For it is written, what you sow, you will reap. Okay, God bless you. I have very few minutes more. I hope I can take all of this stand. Yes?
Good evening, sir.
There's one on the... from Bayelsa State. Nadesh, Sister Nadesh. From Bayelsa State, Nigeria. Shalom, church. My question comes from what one sister said about loving your enemies. My both parents were killed because they did not want to sell their land. So I ask now, should I really love this person who poisoned my parents when I was just 2 weeks old? Yes, according to the Bible, you will still love him. Remember, you cannot fight them. If not, they will kill you too. So, commit the battle to the Lord and fight in the Lord's way. When your enemy be hungry, give him food. When he's thirsty, give him drink. He said, by so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon that person. Leave God to fight the battle for you. Learn to commit your battles to the Lord and live your life. God bless you.
Alright. Please, the born Christians, may you know the love when the male Christians are asking questions. Pastor Moses is not only for the bones, but also for the male Christians, so that we'll grow to statue in bones. Hallelujah. Daddy, somebody asked a question. Please go back to it. Colossians 2:16. Apostle Paul, who is the Gentile teacher? Sorry, I'm a male Christian, so I will still ask those questions. He says, let no one judge you in meat nor in drink. Then in another of his epistles to the Gentile church, so he said, he mentioned drunkards as one of those defaulters that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now my question one is, who is a drunken? Who is a drunkard that is emphasizing? He repeatedly emphasized on drunkards. Then going back to Colossians, he said, let no one judge you in meat or in drink. No drink in question. So who is that drunkard? That's one. Let me go to the so that you answer it straight. Then number two. That was why I said the born Christian should not laugh.
Just a moment. I have to understand your question very well.
All right.
Apostle Paul was telling the Jews.
No,
it was the Jews. Okay, he was telling the Gentiles. When those Jews, they were trying to infiltrate into the liberty we have through grace. Try to bring some laws, those ordinances from the law to grace. And he said, let no man judge you in what you eat, in what you drink. Because in the law, there are certain things you should not eat, and there are certain things you should not drink. Now, we have the liberty. Let nobody judge us anymore in what we eat, in what we drink, according to the law. So what's your question?
My question is, in another of his epistles, he repeatedly emphasized on drunkards.
Yes.
Will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Who is a drunkard? Hey, both Christians.
Now, the word drunkard, that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Who is a drunkard? That's your question.
Yes, sir.
A drunkard is one that takes alcohol. How do you call it? No. There's an English word I'm looking for.
Is it gluten? when you drink to stupor, one that is addicted to alcohol is an alcoholic or a drunkard. That is who he is. One that is given to drinking alcohol until you are known by it. You are a drunkard. Yes.
Not that he prohibits a Christian drinking alcohol.
But you see, let's look at something, church. We must understand scriptures. In the Old Testament, the priest was forbidden from drinking alcohol. And when you are a Christian, the Bible tells us you are of a royal priesthood. The law that pertains to the priests also affects us. You know why? This time, it's not even because there is a law. Listen, church. We as Christians don't live by any law. Listen. We as believers, that is the reason why God gives us the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, He writes it in their hearts. Can we open Jeremiah 33? Jeremiah 33. Hallelujah. Sorry, 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Sorry. Jeremiah 31, 31. This is how he put it. Amen. Are we there? 31, 31. Behold, the days come, say the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, say the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Apostle Paul made reference to it again there. Verse 7. He said, for Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, he's quoting Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because he quoted back all that scripture. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now verse 13. In that he said a new covenant, he has made the first covenant old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. No wonder they were stoning him, Paul. Listen. Under this new covenant, a believer does not have a set of laws.
Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. It's the baby Christians that we are saying, don't wear trousers. Don't paint your body. Look, if you have received the Holy Ghost, a lot of this worldliness die out of you automatically. I was drinking alcohol after I received the Holy Ghost. I don't even remember alcohol. The taste of alcohol irritated me. If I didn't hear from William Branham the significance of taking communion with alcohol, I will never ever have tasted alcohol till I die. Not because somebody told me don't drink, but automatically the taste died. Automatically I knew that if a woman is not my wife, I should not sleep with her. Not somebody telling me, fornicator, you go to hell or you go to hell. I didn't stop it because I didn't want to go to hell. I stopped it by a power that worketh in me. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So all this teaching, this one, teach this, this, this and this. It is because people have refused to let the Holy Ghost lead them. They now walk by the flesh. So God ordained preachers to bring them back to the Spirit. To obey the Spirit that you have received in you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Hello. Sir, please. That was why I was trying to rush it earlier. In Revelation chapter 10, I'm going to the last verse, verse 11, where Christ was saying to John the Revelator, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations and tongues and kings. Going back to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, where God said, I will send you Elijah to be filled in the ministry of Brother Branham. And there he said to John the Revelator, chew and swallow. He chewed and he swallowed. And I believe that is still in the belly of John. I said, you shall prophesy again. Going back to verse 7, which is the emphasis of our belief, Revelation 10:7, that Brother Abraham has fulfilled. And we said the ministry of God is coming to a finish because that has been fulfilled. Has John fulfilled this verse of the Bible, verse 11?
Listen, church. Amen. That's why he started by saying, let's chew some bone. Because you are going to the deeper part of the things that pertain to salvation. Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1 to verse 6. He's speaking about the mighty angel that stands up, puts one leg on the sea, one leg on the land. I'm paraphrasing, I'm making reference, I'm making reference to Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1. And how that salvation, it declared that there should be time no longer, raising a book in his hand. And that mighty angel is the Lord Jesus himself. And that mighty angel is what Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 referred to after the shout, the voice of the archangel. What is that voice of the archangel? Is the archangel in Revelation chapter 10 that raises his hand and says, time no more, and then he screamed as a lion roared. And when he did that, seven thunders uttered their voices, and Apostle John was about to write what the thunder sounded, and he was commanded not to write them. Then in verse 7, he added, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Not mysteries, but mystery. One mystery. Not mysteries. One mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? It is the mystery Apostle Paul referred to in Ephesians chapter 3. What is the mystery? The mystery of the salvation of Gentiles. How the Gentiles came into the commonwealth of Israel and even occupy a higher position than Israel. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that mystery will be rounded up. Then he came to verse 8 and continued to say something else. John was told to go and collect the book from him. And he collected the book and he was told to eat it. And he was told what will happen after he has eaten it. That it will be sweet in his mouth and be bitter in his belly. And John ate it. And it was sweet in his mouth and it was bitter in his belly. Your question is, has John? Okay. Then in verse 11, after he ate it, the angel told him, "For thou must prophesy again to peoples, to nations, to
tongues and kings.
Tongues and kings. Thou must prophesy
again.
It means he prophesied before. Correct?
Yes, sir.
When Bible says, I will send Elijah the prophet. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ told the disciples that if you will receive it, John the Baptist is the Elijah that is to come. Making reference to Malachi chapter 4. And then, still, in Matthew chapter 17, in the transfiguration, praise the Lord, after he appeared with Moses and Elijah, Peter asked him, why don't we first build 3 tabernacles here? And things like that. And from what Jesus Christ spoke, they said, then they understood that, he first, then he answered them. He said, Elijah shall surely come to restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has come already. Do you understand? Elijah shall come and restore all things. But I tell you, say, Elijah has come already.
In the person of John the Baptist.
And he was referring to John the Baptist. He said, Elijah shall come. Future. Correct?
Yes, sir.
But Elijah has come already. So he's talking of 2 Elijahs. Am I correct?
Yeah.
No. So if John has eaten the book and he's told, thou must prophesy again, and he's the one that gave us the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and he's told he will prophesy again, do we believe in reincarnation?
No.
Will he literally come?
No.
It simply means before the rapture, there's going to be a John ministry.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. But that John ministry will not be a man. John ministry will not be a man. It will be a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because John before the rapture will start, because I know where you are going, there is a man that is claiming that he is the John. Oh, he's a bloody antichrist. Serious antichrist. We know the Bible better. We know the Bible better. Praise the Lord. I know where you are going. Amen. John will surely come again. But let me tell you when John will prophesy. Remember, catch this thing. That's why it's good to study. Amen. In John chapter 10, amen. Before John was told to eat the book. Can you listen to me, brother? Before John was asked to eat the book and prophesy, the 7 thunders has sounded. Correct? Eh?
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
So before John's ministry can start, the 7 thunders must first be sounded. Am I correct?
Yes, you are right.
Now, a man is saying he is John. Has the 7 thunders sounded?
No.
He's a liar. Praise the Lord. So the 7 thunder has not yet sounded. After the 7 thunder has sounded, because from what the 7 thunders will sound, what they will sound, they will sound it only to the bride. That is why the angel did not allow him to write it. So that Satan will not mess it up. It has to do
with the last thing we need to know before going to the rapture. And only those who had a shout, the entire message, I came out of the denomination, will position themselves for the next move, the voice of the archangel which produces the seventh angel. And that comes up in the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. So you have to understand something, brother. The thunder has not yet sounded. Once the thunder sounds, remember, the thunder will only sound when salvation is over. He is sitting down, the mercy seat now. Revelation chapter 10 verse 1, he stands up from the mercy seat. The action of standing up was where the seventh seal was open. And the Bible said there was silence in heaven because a monumental thing was about to take place. He stands up. There is no more salvation because he's now moving to Israel. He is now rounding up his bride among the Gentiles. He causes them to hear something that produces a revival that will shake the nations. The people, the kings, they will hear it. It will be a prophetic ministry. Things that will shake everywhere. That last move is what verse 11 of Revelation chapter 10 was saying. John, thou must surely prophesy again. God bless you.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
I cannot take all of you again, though. Can we take later? Now they ask long question. Somebody Skyping from Togo. Sister Sandra from Sok, Togo. Shalom Church. May God bless you. I'm your full member on air from Togo. Clap your hands now, church. I have many questions. Chai, please explain. John 20:22. Please compare John 20:17 and Matthew 28:10. You preach that no one can lose his or her salvation once saved. So please, what do you say about Matthew 8, verse 12? I always dream seeing myself preaching fluently, quoting Bible to people in congregation. But I'm a lady. What can be the meaning, please? Ha. Your question long. And our time is gone. Sister Sandra, will you permit me to answer you next week Friday? If you will, please. Take note of those questions. Please, Lady Haiti, write those questions for me and we will answer them for her. They are long and some people have been standing here for long. I know you two have been awake waiting for that opportunity. But I will answer your questions certainly, God willing, next Friday. God bless you, Sister Sandra. Please bear with us. Okay, let me answer these who have been standing and then we go to pray. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church.
God bless you.
Good morning, sir. I appreciate the wisdom of God upon your life.
Thank you, ma'am.
So my question is, from the Bible, Psalm 97 verse 3 says, a fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. A fire goeth before him and burneth his enemies round about. My question is this fire that goes round about the throne that burns God's enemies, is it the Holy Ghost fire?
Who is the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is God. Fire from God is Holy Ghost fire.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Why I'm asking this is because I started with the scripture union. Those days they used to teach us, they taught us to pray with the word of God. And when we pray, something happened. So recently these times, I entered a church that makes use of Holy Ghost fire. And I am worshiping with them. I hardly pray with making use of the word of God. You know, all the enemies burned by fire. But none of my enemies have been using this fire has burned up to this day. I'm coming here last month. I, you know, participated in the program of Holy Ghost baptism, and before my eyes, I saw the true manifestation of it.
Glory.
Yes. Yes. I now think, is it are we not sending the Holy Ghost a wrong errand in burning people other than doing his normal work of putting the church in revival and are growing in the spirit? Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now I can only defend what I do. I cannot defend what other people do. Yes. But when it comes to the things of the spirit, you cannot just technically like that, make a statement and hack it down. It must be like this. Yes. Now, you cannot do that. So we are very careful concerning the move of the Spirit. We also know that we must learn to balance these things up. That church, we are talking about congregational prayers.
Yes.
And every time you come together to pray, let me quickly say this before I say that. Church, listen. In your sojourn, in your Christian faith, your movement, from church to another church, to another church, to another church. Listen, no church is 100% wrong. Listen, in every church God saw you through, there was something to learn there. Amen. That you add to your Christian faith. Okay? Now, so, whether it is Aladura, at least in Aladura, a mountain of fire, they teach you how to fast well.
Yes.
Do you understand? If you move to Catholic teaches you reverence before the things of God. You learn that there. When you go to churches like Assemblies of God, they teach you holiness. You go to Deeper Life, they teach you holiness and fear of God. In Deeper Life, they make you fear going to hell. Now, all these, you add them to your faith. When you go to a mountain of fire, they teach you spiritual battle. They are all scriptural. Now, in scripture union, you were taught to pray with the word. So, it was something you learned. You did not go to this church and they told you to stop that. You are only to add whatever fire to the word that you have learned. And you will soon see that your prayer life will be sweeter.
Thank you.
That's how you treat, these things. Now when you come together, it's fire. But in your closet, your personal prayers now, you will be fire. The scripture union, what they taught you, and you always receive reward. You now start praying the word.
You know, they used to give 1,000 prayer points,
Yes. All fire.
All fire. Yes.
Did they say you must pray all of them?
Of course. When
you will select the one that is relevant and then go into praying the word.
All right.
The most powerful prayer is what scripture union taught you. Right. Praying God's word. That's the most powerful prayer.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have a question. It's a question really on the net. It's just all about anointing. That the men of God, they must lay hands on someone that needs delivering before you fall under the anointing. So the man that raised...
They wrote it like that.
Yeah. The man.
And so which scripture did they cite?
He wrote some question, the scriptures, and said it is not, he said it is not biblical.
To do what?
To lay hands so that the Holy Ghost will make you fall and do all those things. But the only thing is said about Matthew is that Jesus lay hands on the sick ones and heal them. So it didn't support maybe pastors will lay hands on those people that need delivery before they fall down.
Let's see something in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. So how did he say they are to receive the Holy Ghost? Our time is gone, oh. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even sent, so sent are you. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Correct?
Yes, sir.
He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed.
Yes, that is it. But the thing is that he said, it don't support pastors laying hands to be pressing the victims.
No, but in Acts chapter 8, that's why I said, I don't know which scripture you were saying. There are three ways I have taught here where you receive the Holy Ghost. And it's all in the Bible. Number one, I say, while Peter yet spake, Acts chapter 10, the Holy Ghost came on Cornelius and his household. And then, in Acts chapter 8, when they went to Samaria, Philip went to Samaria. And, can we read it? Our time don't go. One prayer. All of them, where they stand. Can we continue next? Next, please, we want to pray. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, sir.
Praise God. It's also in Acts chapter 19 and other places. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah, actually, this is my...
We cannot hear you well. Can you talk to the microphone?
Yeah, my voice is actually...
Okay.
This is my third or fourth time I'm coming to this video. I'm coming to the vigil. I used to attend the church very close to this place.
Very, very close.
And,
is it the church that is very, very close?
Very close.
Very, very close.
And the first day I came here, when I was outside, I was like, I had a chat with somebody who attends this church. She also told me, she said, when I came here, I loved the church. I said, okay. The way she, you know, she was talking about the church. So I said, okay, I will come. And when I actually came, what I saw here, because this closed church I've been going to, there was a night I took my daughter there, and my daughter was angry. And said, Mommy, why should you take me to such a church? How can the pastor be sleeping in his bedroom and come out around 5 and come to round up? I said, well, since the time I've been coming here, I've not felt the Spirit of God. He's always fighting, the security beating up people. And I felt so bad. But when I came here...
Uh-huh.
Actually, I have been a musician for 13 years.
I've been singing with Frances Kuboye. I used to sing with her. That's the last cousin. I've been faced with a lot of battle. You know, when I came here, I looked down there. I saw the way they were praising God. Remind me of good days, bad days. I called it a bad day because whatever you do without Jesus Christ,
of a lush life,
it's one because if I had died as a musician then, it would have been a loss. And I thought it was all. And when the pastor came out, I said, wow, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I said to myself, let me come again. Let me come and see again. And when I came again, I went to eat akara and fried yam somewhere there. And you know, I was like trying to test the attitude of some of them. And they were polite.
Mm-hmm. Hey. All of them, when they eat for Mami Market, clap your hands now for Jesus.
And I was like, this is a different thing entirely. But I really want to thank God that I'm here. The question I want to ask is this. Since I left playing music, I was about releasing an album when Christ met with me.
Amen.
But I discovered that when I came into the Christ fold, this wonderful gift, because I'm somebody, if I sing, I don't even need a mic for you to hear my voice. I happen to attend a church. I find out that any church I go, probably out of jealousy, when I sing, I begin to have problems. So I started dodging it. And said, why is it that when I come and I sing, the whole church will stand up, they will be happy. But immediately I want to join and begin to join them. Attacks from here and there. In fact, the last one was that I had was in the Redeemed Church.
So what's your question?
So my question is,
why do they attack you?
Why is it that I use my gift for several years to praise the devil? In 5-star hotels. So why is it now that coming to the Christ home, I cannot use this gift? I keep asking myself. I don't only have the gift of song. I have the gift of evangelism. Because when I go out there to preach, I don't fear any man.
Okay, what your question is?
So, Pastor, why is it that I cannot use my gift?
I think your question is clear, my sister. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to answer you.
Praise the Lord. I was going to mention something. I had 3 fatal accidents. Very fatal. The last one, I was gone. You know? So I ran away. I said, I will not sing.
Listen, sister. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen very well. There is a parable in Matthew chapter 13. Let's read it. Matthew
Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. Are we there? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. You know why I remember this parable? There are things Apostle Paul fulfills this also. This was Martin Luther. But I want to break it down to the individual also. One thing that every human being is looking for is the salvation of the soul. One thing that is lacking among all human beings on earth is lack of Christ that has, you know, reduced us to crisis. Whatever you wear in the world, when you have found Christ, whatever you had you wear before, you pack them and throw them away and just follow him. But when you want to come to Christ and begin to remember your past, some great thing you were before, and you want to jam it with Christ, Christ himself will frustrate you. What you have to do is, you were supposed to drop the music first and seek the knowledge of him. But when you brought your worldly achievements and try to join it with this newfound love you have, it will not work. Oh, praise God. Apostle Paul said he count all his achievements, what? As dung. Threw them away for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. When we come to Christ, forget about what you were before and get into a relationship with him. Then he will fit you where you belong by himself. And where you are, where God wants you to be, there will be no crisis. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is why you never found peace anywhere. Then, the day you find it, where God is, you will find rest. Nobody knows you to be a musician in this church. But when you came here, you suddenly found peace. Correct? Now, not only peace, God finally brought you now to where you can use your gift freely now. Freely now. Because here, in this church, amen.
Amen.
We encourage gifts. We encourage gifts. Here, you can sing. Whether you are in the choir or not, you can sing. Or whether you know how to sing or not, we will allow you to sing. Sister Chinwe, any song today? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. I believe you have come to the final bus door.
Amen.
You couldn't have fitted in the church that is very, very, very close to us. Because they don't believe in instruments. But let me tell you where the hypocrisy is. We saw them the next day after we went for our rally. They mounted speakers on an open vehicle. And they are playing music, cassette, for CD with speaker. Music that was once with all manner of instruments. They were playing it. Then I knew that these people are hypocrites. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you know you don't fit in there. Here,
Nobody cages us. If you come here,
are you an Igbo woman? Are you Igbo?
I'm from Delta.
Delta. Here, you will see Abriba dance. All manner of dance, dance steps. Now here we see them. Can we stand up now? Let's dance some dance steps. See you next time. See you next time. Can we dance some dance steps? Somebody shout Jesus, Igwe! Somebody, Jesus, may you reign.